just begin in a word of prayer. Father God, I just ask for your anointing, your Holy Spirit, Lord. God, I want there to be none of me, Lord God. God, let me decrease, God, so you can just increase. And let this word go forth, Lord, as a seed that is implanted in people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's kind of funny because it was what I felt like this time. Jeff's like, "Hey, you're preaching on December 1st," and I was like, "Didn't know that." Put it in my phone, but it seemed like something that God had been working, kind of in my own life. It was looking at the Bible and then seeing the parable of the sower and the seed. And it kind of started taking newer meaning. I mean, I grew up in children's church. I grew up hearing the parable of the sower. And it was just kind of like you would do some little craft or something of, you know, they would have some kind of seeds or something. And there would be, I don't know, some little craft in church. But it really didn't, I guess it just didn't become real to me of the meaning of that. So you have the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that they all kind of talk about the same thing. So you have these different perspectives of Jesus' life and, you know, the travels of Jesus and the disciples. People from different backgrounds, and so you get a little bit different story. The one I'm going to be taking a look at is Luke chapter 8. So we pick up in verse 4, and it says, "When a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by parable." So obviously, like a great multitude, it wasn't like, you know, a small little gathering. It's not like Jesus was drawing crowds because, I mean, there's so many people that heard of him. So there's a great number of crowds. So he spoke in parables, which is storytelling, but it's relatable to someone's life. It's something just for, you know, whenever a speaker brings in, you know, a certain instance or something that everybody can relate to, a common thing, you know, at your work, talking to my boss, doing whatever, just bringing in some situation which is going to be similar to you. So he spoke to them by parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." So to put it in perspective for you, this is very relatable to them because if anybody has farmed or been around farmers or anything now, it's way different than what it used to be, in which, you know, they would go through, they would have their farrows and they would be throwing the seed inside of the farrows, but literally there's no technology involved like we have now where you can specifically like place where you want a seed, right? So it was, if anybody's ever seen that, like a big just satchel, right? Just filled with seed. So, of course, he's probably not one to make a whole bunch of trips back and forth to sow. So, of course, it's probably going to be pretty full, right? So everybody understood what he was talking about, of someone sowing seed. There might be people here that have never sown seed in their life, right? So don't feel bad. It's just not common practice. "So some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on the good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. Then he finished the whole parable. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Which really, like, it takes pause because it's kind of like, why do you say that? They came here to listen to you, right? But then he who has ears, let him hear. So it's possible to have ears and not hear. Any wives know what I'm talking about? So, yeah, you can sit there and tell your husband as he's sitting there, you know, watching a football game or something like that, hey, we need to talk. And that's probably like the worst thing for a husband to hear. Like, oh, so the husband can sit there and hear everything she's saying, repeat it back, like probably word for word, I've done it. I'm a husband, I've done it. But then 3 minutes from there, you just forget. So that whole take the garbage out, you missed it, right? Yep. So the whole crowd being there, they came to listen to Jesus. They obviously liked to listen to him, right? They love he comes and he tells parables and so they enjoy the sermon, right? But he knows that they're obviously not hearing him. He who has ears, let him hear. So he's a good storyteller. The parables were consistent with everyday life. It's like an everyday farming process, right? But obviously, he was trying to get them to understand what he was talking about when he spoke to them in parable, but the secret of the kingdom was not known to everybody, and we're going to find out as we go ahead and go down here. So if we skip on to verse 11, he spoke in these parables because it was like secrets of the kingdom. So he has the disciples coming to him because they hear the word. They enjoy it too, just like everybody else does, right? But they weren't really satisfied with it. So if you go to a restaurant and you get, you know, like an appetizer, that's not really the meal. And if you notice, most appetizers are pretty rich, but they come in small portions because what they're trying to do is set you up for the entree. You know, you're not going to go in there and order like a sampler platter and then eat it. And then if you're just full with that, then what's the use in ordering the entree? Why waste the extra money, right? But the disciples, they weren't satisfied with just the little appetizer that Jesus was given. So they come and they're asking him. I'm sorry, back in verse 9. Then his disciple asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear. So before we fall in, he even explains, if you're looking at the parable of the sower, that really he gave different spots. Like the seed was all the same. It wasn't that like the sower went and had one bag of seed here and then one bag of seed here. It was all the same seed. The only difference is where it landed, right? All the same seed. So the success of the seed by the parable depended on, okay, where did this seed land? He who has ears, let him hear. So if there was nothing different, then the problem wasn't with the seed in the story, it was just where it landed. So as the disciples go ahead and they start inquiring because they're not satisfied with just the appetizer that Jesus was giving to the crowd, he goes ahead and tells them what the purpose of the parable was, because they're like, man, you just kind of sound crazy. You're talking to them in stories. It was a good story, but what does this mean to me? So I'm going to refer back, because in Luke, you just have just a little part of there, seeing that they may not see, and hearing that they may not understand. But if you switch back into Matthew 13 and hear Matthew's account, then you have to wonder too, like, so when he says to you it has been granted, what is different between the disciples and the big large crowd? Well, the big large crowd just wanted to hear the story. They liked the stories. They liked the sermon. It sounded great, right? It was good, encouraging speak. How many churches are filled with people that come on a Sunday morning that they just like the sermon? They just like the idea of it. but then it's just an appetizer. It's just for that moment. And then when they walk out and hit the parking lot, 2 hours later, it's gone, right? So Matthew 13, Matthew gives kind of a different account. There's a little bit added there. And the disciples came to him in verse 10, and disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it hasn't been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Anybody seeing the irony here? So you can actually go through and listen and feel, yep, I got it. And when you're, again, leaving, it's gone, right? So a sermon is delivering the seed, right? But then a week later, can you tell me what Pastor spoke on last week? But that person that's not satisfied with an appetizer, that hears the seed is delivered, and they have fully prepared their soil to take that seed, to them, it's going to be given much more. Because we're going to just talk about what a seed does. So it will be taken away from them. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are they, are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." So he's explaining to them exactly, listen, like, there's a difference between you and them. They are coming for the nice story. They're coming to maybe see a miracle. They're coming just for amazement, but they really don't see and they really don't hear. But you're not satisfied with the appetizer. You want the entree because you want to be sustained longer. The appetizer will last you. You know, a good sermon, yep, it might last you the rest of the day, maybe wake up the next day. But if you're really not prepared that soil or tending to that seed, then what happens? Nothing. It falls by the wayside. It doesn't even get in the ground. So he goes on. I'm going to skip back to Luke 8 in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So we'll just break it down, because it's not too deep. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who hear, who when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation will fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. So the state in which you come is finding that basically you're wrong even though you're showing up. So sometimes, even though you hear people that might not say it out loud, they really don't believe the word of God. They really don't believe that, hey, this seed, they don't really believe it. They show up, they want to hear it, they want to get it, but then they're really not putting faith in it. So you can show up to a church, you can love the worship, you can love the sermon, you can love the fellowship, you can leave, you can feel great, but you get out and before you take a bite of your appetizer at lunch, you have lost your appetizer that you just had. Because that's what it becomes, is just an appetizer. So God gives the word by the seed implanted in you. So if you think of a seed, it has a, you know, shell, a thick shell, and that shell only breaks when something happens, right? On the environment outside and inside. So you look at an acorn is just an acorn laying on the ground. However, if you look at that acorn, there's an oak inside of it. It's not just an acorn. If you could visualize an oak tree, which is a big tree, inside of an acorn, something happens, right? When you go ahead and you plant that, you fertilize it, you take care of it. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So there's an oak inside that acorn. When you get the word of God, it's by seed only, but if the soil isn't consistent with what the seed requires, the seed doesn't develop into what it's supposed to be. So there's nothing wrong with the seed, but there's only a problem with the soil that that seed is falling on. And you don't have to turn there. I'll be turning there myself. So in James 1:21, you'll read, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive the meekness, the implanted, E-D, implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We at this church, I know that we have implanted word. We have it. But when you're seeing that you are, there's like no power of God in your life and that seed is not growing, it's not the seed. Everybody follow me? It's not the seed. It is the soil. There is an examination of the soil. So when you're born into this world, your soul is dead, right? Your body, your physical body, obeys the soul. So there's the common misconception that it's like, oh, my, you know, my soul's been saved, right? When you get saved, you get the seed. Seed goes into your spirit, right? Which then affects your soul. And in, I guess, in our secular society, it would be like body, mind, spirit, right? Which really the mind is your soul, right? Your soul. So your body's physical, your soul is like your self-life, right? Your spirit is like the connection to God. So you're born with a damaged soul. Your body's alive only because your spirit's still there. But when you're cut that off, dead to God, with your spirit, spirit leaving the body, you're dead, right? So if the body's going to listen to the soul, James here is talking to believers when he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So if we jumped up right before that in verse 19, he says, my beloved brethren. He's not talking to sinners or anything like that. He's talking to the church. Beloved brethren, receive the implanted word. So this seed is alive and it's holding potential. The word of God is alive. You've gotten the seed, right? But there's a lot of seed that you haven't really gotten because it hasn't come and bore fruits or went beyond that in your life. It's basically you have gotten the seed and some of it's went by the wayside. Some of it's just went on, you know, the rock has no, it can't take any root, in which if it can't take any root, then it's not going to actually grow to what it's supposed to be. Then other, you get it, it's planted, but then you let everything else around you choke it out. So everybody loves, I mean, my son loves popcorn. He loves it. Like almost if I let him every night, he would sit down and he would eat popcorn every night. But if you look at popcorn, it changes, right? The kernel of the corn changes. If anybody's ever tried to, like, or if you're eating popcorn, you get a kernel that's not been cooked. Wow. Lose a filling, everything. But these kernels have moisture, right? There's a moisture in a kernel, but on the outside, they are hard. Hard. So whenever you press, you know, your button on your microwave, or if you do old school, was it Jiffy Pop on the stove or something? I don't know nothing about that. You're pressing, and then that microwave's going ahead and it's starting to cook. It's starting to radiate, right? Well, that moisture inside the kernel is getting radiated, and so the moisture, of course, turns to steam. And then when the shell can't take the pressure of the steam, the environment on the inside changes, right? And now it releases this soft little yummy goodness, right? So when the word of God goes to work inside the soul of a believer, the spirit is being heated up, and then you're going to see an explosion of new life. Just like the acorn going in the ground, being planted, being cared for, you're going to see life spring up out of it. You're going to, especially like if you're keeping all the thorns and everything else away from this seed and it's truly been planted, you're caring for it. Carefully caring for it, and it doesn't get choked out, what is it? It grows to be a huge oak. So the problem isn't with the seed. It's not even, I would say, here at this church, it is not the delivery of the seed, because all of it is rightly divided. The problem is with our soil that it's landing on. When you have that and the word of God becomes free in your life, not just sown in a section, but sown throughout your life, you are going to see the repercussions of that in everything that you do when you care for that field. It always made me wonder when I was a kid and my grandfather, I mean, he raised tobacco, raised hay, what's the other? It's losing me right now. Alfalfa, corn, I mean, different kinds of crops. But I had to ask him one time because you would see him go through and plow the field. And when he would plow, he would deeply plow, right? So then looking at the field, it's just a jumbled up, you know, chunks of dirt everywhere because it's not really grinding it down or anything. But he would reach down as deep as he could go, plow, then come back, get deeper, plow. And I kept asking him, like, why do we do this? Because you do it and then you just leave it, right? You just leave it for a while. But what he's doing is going and as the seed goes and takes nutrients, right, from the ground, he's going and he's turning that ground over through the process, deepening, going deeper, bringing up more minerals, everything else to grow the seed, caring for the ground. there was almost more work in preparing the ground than there was delivering the seed. So he explained the process to me, and then it really starts to show you of if you see the Word of God not working in your life, there is a self-examination that you need to have, and you need to start looking at the soil in which it's landing on. You need to start looking at your own heart when the Word of God somehow has no power in your life. Because it's not the seed. The seed's the same. It's been the same. It'll stay the same. The only way that you're going to see fruit is from nourishing that ground in which the seed lands on. So I'm just going to end this really quick. It's quick. We got through. I just want to end in Hebrews 4, 11. Because to really like see what kind of life that the seed, the Word of God has, I think that this categorizes everything. So let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give account. So I'm just going to read that one more time. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit. So when your body is sitting there listening to your soul on what to do, that spirit is then creating like meshing into your soul. You have to get inside of the Word of God. One, and I was talking just the other day. One, to keep not only me, not only Jeff, not only Gary accountable to the Word of God, but then to each other accountable to the Word of God. Not only that, but if you want to see the power of God really start being demonstrated in your life, well, then you need to care for the seed that's implanted in you. Every time that you're reading the Bible, it shouldn't just be here, I'm reading this chapter so I can say I did it, so I can go on about my day. That does you no good. You might as well just not even read it. To be honest, I'm guilty. I've done it. Here, I'm going to do this. We go through this devotional. I only got 15 minutes before I have to leave. Okay, got it. And later on in that day, I couldn't tell you anything about it. Why? There was no ground prepared, right? We come into church sometimes and we haven't prepared any of the ground. There's not any prayer. There's nothing. It's just here, I'm going to church. But we have to care for that word. So when you get that word, then it's like, okay, he's giving you the appetizer. You got to dive in and get the meal for yourself. That's where the closeness, that's the intimate relationship that starts to flourish with God is when you're not sitting there just eating the little appetizer. Because the appetizer is going to make you fat and it's going to make you lazy. It doesn't have anything to help you sustain your Christian walk. There's no oaks. All there are just little seeds in the ground falling on nothing that is of any importance. You might as well throw them on the concrete because they ain't going to grow. To soften your heart and to let the word divide. your soul and spirit, to let the word be the discerner of your thoughts and intents of the heart. To be naked in front of God. Opening up your heart, and that's just a softening. That's the here, let me go ahead and say, God, I don't have it under control. I'm want to lay here broken in front of you. That's what that comes to. It's not doing it just for a status thing, you know, just to say you came to church, because when you come to church, then people think you're a good person and all that other stuff. If that's the reason, then you're never going to get anything past an appetizer. You're just going to stay in that same spot. If the soil hasn't been cared for, that you're not going ahead and preparing yourself to receive the seed. If you think about the, even just in the, and we're not going to have to believe this, but just in life in general, right? A seed is implanted and attaches to an egg, right? But then if that doesn't land right in the womb, there's no life that comes from it. Now, there's life there, but if it doesn't land in the spot it needs to land, then nothing's going to come of it. It's wasted. Yeah, it's attached and it's ready to go, but it hasn't landed in the spot where it needs to land. Am I making sense, or I'm just talking in circles? All right. Doesn't take care of the body. There's numerous people that I've seen that miscarries a child because why? She's not caring for that fertilized egg and seed inside of her, but she's doing whatever. You know, whatever makes her happy. So there's no care for the seed, but you're not ever going to see life from it because you haven't cared for it. But literally, you could think of, I mean, just a lot of different things that we eat, that if that seed didn't fall where it fell and wasn't cared for the way it was cared for, then you wouldn't be eating what you're eating. That's where God wants us to start really pressing in, because when you're sitting back and you're trying to make decisions in your own life, then the first place that you're going to see it is in the Word of God. That's where he's going to speak to you. It's not going to be the, Adam, come hither, my son. It, you know, can it happen that way? Well, sure, yeah. But then at the same time, that is going to be corroborated in the Word of God. You can even have somebody speak into your life. Somebody say, hey, God wanted me to tell you this. But then the testing of that is like, okay, they said this to me. What does God's word say? Amen. There's no way around it. There's no way. This is where it starts. This is where it ends. The conversation is going to start Word of God, his word, living, breathing word, and that's where the same thing is going to be confirmed or denied, because we are in the last days. So false prophets, deceivers, this is your measuring tool to see whether or not, this is the test, whether or not somebody is a deceiver, is a false prophet. This is the weight, right? This is what you're weighing those words with. So I just ask, as a congregation, let's be more mindful. Let's be more mindful of caring for the seed, because it's not that we're not getting it. We get it. You know, good, bad, ugly, you know, truth, grace. I mean, we rightly divide the word. We get it. However, if we're not seeing any fruit of it, then we have to go back and look at our soil. We got to go back and start examining our own life and seeing, am I really caring for this properly? Have I really prepared my soil to receive it? And then have I taken care of it? Have I been noble? Taking care of it. It's been implanted. You know, the seed was implanted in you when you gave your life to God. that seed was implanted. Have you cared for it? Have you taken care of it? Has it grown to be anything else but just a statement of, hey, I'm a Christian. Look, I have a study Bible and everything. I go to church. Has it grown to be where people can see you, hear you talk, see your actions, and then say, yep, there's something different about that person. There's different fruits that people are going to see. And it's not even, I mean, it's not like you have to go in being super spiritual or even like, you know, preaching to everybody you see. They'll see it. I can attest. People at my job had seen it. They saw the difference. Let's just end in a word of prayer. Father God, I just come to you. I thank you for your mercy, your love for us. We just don't deserve it. God, I just ask, Lord, to just help us. Help us. Help us to be focused. Help us to be diligent. Help us to persevere and press on into your word and receive it, God, and care for it and let it grow in our lives so that we can go ahead and we can be a light. I just pray, I lift up everybody in this congregation to you. I just ask that you would keep them safe through the week. God, that you would help them in their time. Speak to them through your word, Lord. Reveal yourself to them, God. Draw them closer to you. Lord, of just seeing how awesome you are, just how good of a God you are. That despite us, despite our actions, despite what we do, Lord, that you are solid, you're firm, you're sovereign, you're just, but then you're so loving and so merciful. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for just your grace over my life and everyone here, Lord. Lord, I just ask that we go through this week, Lord, and take care of your seed, Lord, and just help it flourish in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.